This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
I do. Any chance to stand in it, I'm outside.
Okay. Now, Jill, tonight on the show, we're going to have a bit of a chat with John Hall. Now, John is the manager of the HIV Services Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So, in effect, John is one of our colleagues. But John's going to be talking to us about gardens. And if you want to hear how gardens fit into HIV and health, I think you better stick around and listen to us. We're also going to be looking at a few news items coming up really soon, and later on we'll look at some events and happenings around town. But as always, we love to hear from you, our listener. Jill, how can our listener get in touch?
They can do a couple of things, Tex. They can send us a message or they can call. You can send us a message via 0427JOY949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au, or to speak with Jeanette, you can phone 96992949.
That's fantastic. So, yes, you could send us an SMS or an email, or you could give us a call. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Lesbian and Gay Radio for Melbourne, Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. And tonight we have Jill, who's with us for the first time, and you've got me, Tex, who's been with you for 350,000 years. Now, Jill, we're going to have a look at a couple of new snippets of news stories about things that have been happening around town. And the first one I thought is really interesting. It's entitled Prove You're Gay. And this is a bit strange. There's a Bangladeshi couple, and they've been seeking asylum here in Australia. They've been here for more than 10 years, and they're up before the Refugee Tribunal for the fourth time. And their lawyer, or their barrister, has suggested that this couple may have to have sex in front of witnesses to prove they're gay in order to secure asylum in Australia, which is a pretty wacky old theory, I think.
It's pretty outrageous, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, the couple, who can't be named, have been told to prove they're gay when they appear next at the Refugee Tribunal for the fourth time in more than 10 years. And their barrister has said that short of forcing the couple to have sex in front of witnesses, physically proving their sexuality is going to be a bit difficult. The problem with this couple, as if you like, they can't be located in any of the gay papers because they don't go out. They're a monogamous couple. They don't frequent gay bars. They don't go to sex on premises venues. So how is it going to be possible to prove, if you like, they're homosexual? It would be almost as silly as saying to a heterosexual couple, you can't come to Australia, you're not suffering persecution, you're a heterosexual couple, you know, prove you're straight.
And that's exactly the point. I mean, if you said the same thing to a heterosexual couple and said, okay, basically it's come down to you're going to have sex in front of a load of strangers in order to prove you're not gay, it would be, I can imagine it would be an outcry, really.
That's right. And look, with this couple, they don't really know anyone in gay society. As I said, they're not frequenters of gay establishments. They came to Australia together and they've lived together exclusively for over 20 years. They actually came to Australia in 1998 and they've been fighting for asylum since they arrived on the grounds that as gay men, their lives would be at risk if they returned home. Now, originally, the Refugee Tribunal ruled that the pair would be safe to return to Bangladesh if they lived discreetly. Now, that decision was overturned by the High Court. However, one could suggest that afraid of a pink tide of refugees, the Commonwealth has tried to prove that the couple aren't gay. At their second tribunal appearance, they were forced to undergo DNA testing to prove they weren't brothers, that they weren't related. At the third appearance, they were asked if they'd had sex that day. And when they answered yes, one of the men was asked if he'd used lubricant. When he refused to answer, he was ruled as a dishonest witness and the application was denied. Their barrister is just suggesting, basically, you know, if the worst comes to the worst, how do we prove someone's gay? The court's seeming to say, well, you know, if you're gay, you need to live in some sort of sauna environment to prove that you're actually gay. It's one of those really wacky things. And we'll endeavour to bring you the outcome of this as the case progresses through the courts and through the tribunal.
And just on that, I mean, just in closing on that text, it says here, it says they've said if worse comes to worse, they'll do it, but they'd regard it as horribly embarrassing and terribly intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of does sum it up, doesn't it?
It does sum it up. So that's a pretty strange one.
It's a curly one.
The next one we're going to look at is an issue from Uganda. And it's an action alert which has been issued by the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, and also by a group called the Sexual Minorities of Uganda, who have the unfortunate acronym of SMUG, S-M-U-G. I would have suggested they turn those letters around, not so it doesn't sound like it's SMUG. But this is a decision by the Ugandan Parliament. They're now considering a new homophobic law that would reaffirm the penalties for homosexuality and criminalise the promotion of homosexuality. This is the Anti-Homosexuality Bill of 2009, and it targets lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender Ugandans. And in addition to that, people who defend them and anyone else who fails to report them to the authorities. And the really interesting thing about this is whether they are living inside or outside of Uganda. Pretty strange. Pretty odd.
It's just as equally odd as the previous one. Where do you find these things, Dave?
Well, we get them off the internet. And we get a lot of them from a website called AIDSMAP.org. So that's AIDSMAP, M-A-P, .org. And there's another couple of sites that we use to get these sort of reports as well. And in this segment of every Thursday night from 8 till 9, in this segment we talk about some of these strange reports that have come through. But Uganda's penal code has an Article 145A which already criminalises carnal knowledge of any person against the order of nature. And this is a charge that's used to prosecute and persecute, and also to blackmail lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people, with the threat of life imprisonment. Now, the new bill would specifically penalise homosexuality, using life imprisonment to punish anything from sexual stimulation to simply touching another person with the intention of committing an act of homosexuality. It also punishes aggravated homosexuality, whatever that means, including activity by serial offenders or people who are HIV positive with the death penalty. So it's not just shoving them in prison for life, it's actually deciding that's it.
And just reading further down on that text, it says, more shocking, the bill claims jurisdiction over Ugandans who violate its provisions while outside of the country, which is, it's really pushing it to the extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, look, effectively it's banning any form, any kind of community or political organising around non-heteronormative sexuality. It will lend itself to misapplication and abuse, as I'm sure people could imagine, and implicitly encourages persecution of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people by anyone. But there is stuff you can do.
What exactly if you want to know a bit more about this or you want to sort of get involved in some way of assisting Ugandans and ensuring this bill doesn't take place, what is there actually any way you can... any organisation that's sort of assisting?
Yeah, well, there's the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission and the Sexual Minorities of Uganda. They're both calling for swift dismissal of the Anti-Homosexuality Bill of 2009 and the protection of all Ugandans, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And if you'd like to do something about this, you can go to the following website. It's the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. Their website is IGLHRC, which of course stands for International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. So IGLHRC.org. And then once you're on that website, you can follow the links to action alerts. You'll find that there's more than just the action alert for this particular campaign. There's, of course, lots of issues where homosexuals and gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex and the queer community do suffer from discrimination. And I thought, as the last one in our little bit of news items, is I'd do, as Jason usually says on a Thursday night, a bit of a self-plug for the outreach project here at the Victorian AIDS Council. I shouldn't say here because we're here at Joy. But the outreach project at the Victorian AIDS Council are a bunch of same-sex attracted guys who go into sex-on-premises venues and also go online to chat to other same-sex attracted men about HIV, sexually transmitted infections, and other topics regarding sexuality. Now, we have a training course coming up very soon. The training course is on two all-day Saturdays, the 7th and the 14th of November. And if anyone would like to find out more, they can contact me, Tex, at the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865 6700. That's 9865 6700. I should know the number by now. I've been working there for 20 years. But we will have more coming up, and coming up after the next gorgeous track, all the music tonight, I should add, has been chosen by Jill. We're going to be talking.
Don't like it, blame me.
That's right. We're going to be talking with John Hall, the manager of HIV services. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Can't think straight. Can't handle it on your own.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Jill and Tex. And Jill, I'd like you to tell us, who was that? Who was it by? What was it?
That's a piece called Summer, and I'm sure a lot of listeners would know about it. And it's a piece by Vivaldi.
Ah, the gorgeous Vivaldi.
Yeah.
And it's a great introduction, because joining Jill and I tonight is John Hall. John is the manager of the HIV Services Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Good evening, John. It's great to have you with us here on Well, Well, Well.
Thank you for having me, Tex and Jill.
John, we've asked you in tonight to chat about gardens, and we're going to find out about the relationship between gardens and HIV. But first of all, I'd like to find out just a little bit about you. John, how long have you been with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre?
Well, I commenced with the Victorian AIDS Council as a volunteer in the Community Support Program back in 1990, so nearly 20 years ago, although it really just seems like yesterday, to be perfectly honest. I don't know where those 20 years have gone.
Oh, right. Well, that means you've...
it's my life. Yeah.
You've been involved in the organisation a year less than me. Wow, that's pretty good.
Quite old-timers. And what drew you into working into the area of HIV/AIDS, John?
Well, it's a long story, but to cut it short, back in the 80s, my father contracted cancer, so I, along with the rest of my family, were looking after him for as long as we could until he died in 1988, it was. And within a week of his death, I saw an advertisement in the Age newspaper recruiting volunteers to work with cancer patients and for the Australian Cancer Patients Foundation, which was run by Ian Gawler and his then wife, Gail. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to me just to turn something pretty horrific into something better, to see if I could do something to help others. So I responded and I undertook the training and ended up coordinating a group of volunteers who assisted other people with cancer and their families. I was quite happy doing that for a couple of years when this friend of mine, a work colleague, said to me, well, that's all very well to do that, but why don't you do something for your own community, meaning the gay community? And as he was already a volunteer with the AIDS Council, he explained it all to me. So I became a volunteer with the East Area Support Group before transferring to one of the North Area groups. Back then, Tex, you may remember, there was two North groups mm-hmm. called Yin and Yang. And
oh, indeed. Yes, I remember.
Yes. So I was part of Yin. So before too long, I found myself out at Fairfield Hospital doing the home care training, which, if my memory serves me correctly, was a six-week, fairly intensive course where you ended up assisting the nursing staff on one of the AIDS wards, as they were then called, mm-hmm. at Fairfield Hospital. So really quite a unique experience.
Yeah, yeah. Now, John, can you take us through the journey of what areas you've worked in prior to your present position? And as I said earlier, you're the manager of the HIV services program, yep. but you didn't come in as the manager.
No.
Where did you start?
Well, as I said before, I was a volunteer doing direct care for a couple of years. So that's from 1990 to 92. Mm-hmm. And then as a volunteer, I became the CUTE rep for the North Area group. And I'll explain CUTE.
That's, oh, it's not because you're CUTE?
No, no, definitely not.
Right.
It stands for the Country Expansion Working Team, so CEWT, where the city-based area groups were formally linked into country and regional groups to assist and support the volunteers and their clients in rural communities. So North Area group was linked in with the Ballarat group.
All right, yep.
So I then became one of the care team coordinators as a volunteer and went on to be the area coordinator for North before doing that same task when the central area group was formed, I think, in about 1994.
Now, John, if I can just ask yep. you, you said that you were working with people in Ballarat. Does that yep. mean there were people living with HIV in Ballarat?
There were. There were regional groups, Ballarat, Bendigo, Castlemaine, as you mm-hmm. may remember. There were lots of people living with HIV and still are in rural communities. But back in those days, people were even more marginalised, I think, and it became pretty difficult for people to access services and even get support in a really confidential manner. So a lot of the people actually did come down to Melbourne. Mm-hmm. They made that trip down to Melbourne. But we tried to resource these groups through the CUTE team.
Okay. Oh, so now continue, sorry.
Okay. So then I became the area coordinator in the central area group, and they're all volunteer roles. And then in 1995, Vicky King, whom you may remember, mm-hmm. a previous manager of HIV services, she approached me to see whether I'd be interested in doing some paid locum work for the community support program as a regional support officer, overseeing the care and support needs of clients delivered via volunteers, before being appointed as a regional support officer for the eastern region. And that covered the East Area Group and the Outer East Area Group. So that continued, and then in 2002, we've hit the new millennium, mm-hmm. I became the team leader of the Community Support Program, which is part of HIV Services, and then in 2006, when the position of manager became available, I applied for that and was successful, so I've been doing it for just under 3 years now.
Okay.
Wow, so you've certainly got quite a bit of a history. And
a history is right.
And,
yeah.
and knowledge, I should say, with that amount of history. John, can you share with our listener what the HIV services program is all about and who are the clients and how exactly do they access the services?
Sure. Well, the HIV services program is a broad brush, really, that emanates from the Positive Living Centre down in Commercial Road in Paran. That's where a range of services and activities for people living with HIV are delivered. There is, of course, the centre itself, which offers things from peer support through to complementary therapies such as massage, the Vitamart, Shiatsu, acupuncture, which we do in partnership with the School of Southern Therapies, and, of course, our resident naturopath, Vince, to our nutrition project, where we have brunch every day and lunch on Tuesdays and dinners on Thursday evenings, and fortnightly pantry for those on a healthcare card. We have the David Williams Fund, which provides emergency financial assistance, which also offers financial literacy workshops and study assist to those who may be thinking of returning to study. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we have our community volunteer support services, which assist people to remain as independent as possible and in their own environments for as long as possible, with a focus on tackling social isolation and the medical transport system. Now, that's all utilising the time and energy of our volunteer base. As well, there is the in-home support service where we have a number of properties which house people with particular needs that can be met by paid attendant care, and often those paid attendant carers work in partnership with the volunteer program. Most people are referred to us, though, through their links with other service providers or allied health services, the GPs, of course, and the good old Royal District Nursing Service, with whom we have a formal partnership agreement. So people are referred through those those avenues, and all people that need to do is to come and talk to us, the staff member, to identify their key issues or goals and see how best we can assist them with the services or some other appropriate referral process. So there's lots of stuff happening.
Goodness, indeed. Yeah. Now, John, we've chatted, of course, with a number of staff from the HIV Services Program over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many staff and volunteers are there within the HIV Services Program? Sorry.
Well, we have 5 full-time staff and 9 part-time staff, with just over 100 volunteers to assist us in providing the services that come out of the PLC.
Okay, now those volunteers are not just doing home care support.
No. They work in the kitchen, they help do the laundry, they work on reception. We have one working with the PK Ticks program, which is part of the social isolation project. We have a volunteer who helps Linda Horn, the David Williams officer. Volunteer massage therapists. Really, without the volunteers, we couldn't exist. The volunteers are the thread that make the fabric of the VAC, really.
Okay.
And it's the same with so many other organisations.
Including, of course, Joy.
Joy, exactly. I was just going to say. Now, you've mentioned the PLC, obviously, quite extensively, and tonight our focus is on gardens. Now, there's been some recent news about the gardens at the PLC. What's the buzz about that?
Okay. Well, the PLC, as you may know, including the garden, is a heritage-listed site, and, of course, the drought has taken its toll on the whole place. Any work that we undertake must be done in accordance with the guidelines. So recently we had a garden maintenance plan drawn up in consultation with the heritage horticulturalists, with the City of Stonington and DHS as owners of the site. None of this is easy or straightforward, as you can imagine, trying to get people to sign off on things. So we needed to do that in order to tackle the garden and to trim back the branches. We can't, literally we cannot, cut down branches or anything like that because they're planted by the old World War One blind diggers who came back after the mustard gas attacks. So we had to do that to trim the trees back or support the large boughs, and we installed a drip watering system to try to save the old trees. We had to resurrect the heritage flagpole. So the flagpole itself is heritage listed. That came down when we had strong winds, when a silver birch collapsed and fell on it and brought it down. So a lot of work goes into the maintenance of it and the care of it. But apart from that, we're very, very lucky to have such a committed gardener, Tony. Tony puts all of his energies and passions into making sure the garden is well cared for and that its history, our part of its history and the history of the previous history of the blind diggers, is also respected.
Okay. Are there certain plants that you have to plant or plants you can't plant?
No, the trees are protected, but we can have a range of plants in the garden beds. That's, thankfully, we can do that.
And you'd still be, I'm assuming you still have to sort of follow the water restrictions.
Yes, we do.
So you don't get a bit of extra few leaves.
We tried to go for exemption, but that became terribly complicated. That's why we've got the drip system installed just recently.
And okay. Now, John, you're able to stay with us. We have to hear some important community service announcements, and then we have another song.
Okay.
We'll be returning with John really soon. This is Well, Well, Well with Jill and Tex on Joy 94.9.
Seahorse Victoria is a social and support group for the transgender community.
For the transgender community.
Share your issues,
problems,
and successes with others who identify as transgendered in a safe and supportive social environment. Find out more at seahorsevic.com.
Well, 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 on Joy 94.9, and you're with Jill and Tex, and that was Fiona Apple with Limp, with that particularly stunning drumming solo, right smack in the middle of it. Now, our guest tonight is John Hall. John is the manager of the HIV Services Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and tonight we're focusing on gardens, and we've been asking John about the gardens at the Positive Living Centre, which have recently been renovated in keeping with the heritage overlay.
Now, John, as you've previously mentioned, the PLC is a working centre. Are there any occasions that non-PLC members can go along and view the gardens?
Absolutely. Any PLC member is entitled to bring a guest with them when they visit the PLC. And we have a number of public forums and functions too that occur down at the PLC. Information forums, AGMs, for example. And this Sunday, of course, is our own annual general meeting for the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre at 1:30, Tex, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right.
1:30. And, of course, we have the World AIDS Day ceremony, which will be conducted there again this year on December the 1st, and that commences at 5:45 p.m. sharp, and that always attracts a large crowd. If I may just put in a little plug, the keynote speaker this year is the Honourable Michael Kirby, so that should be worth coming to listen
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Now, John, we've mentioned the Positive Living Centre. Where is it? You've said Commercial Road. What's the address?
It's 31 to 51 Commercial Road in Piran. It's the old Braille Library, an old Edwardian brick building.
With a lovely octagonal dome.
That's right. It's the old reading room.
And a lovely garden as
Lovely garden, yep.
Now, John, there's also some great news about the AIDS Memorial Garden at the old Fairfield Hospital site. Now, first off, can you share with our listener a little about the garden and how it came to be a memorial?
Well, the AIDS Garden at the old Fairfield Hospital site was opened in 1988. That is behind the nurses' home, the old Yarra House, it was called, the nurses' home there at Fairfield Hospital. And that leads down towards the Yarra. That's where the garden's located. And that is something of a private place, and that provided much-needed respite, I think, from the hospital wards for patients, their families, the volunteers who were working with them, of course, the staff themselves who worked out at Fairfield Hospital in those really quite bleak days. It's a fairly unique semi-bushland area that has been enhanced by seeding areas. And, of course, it's always the wildlife. There's always birds. There's the peacocks and, of course, the odd snake, of course. But back in those days, people were dying in large numbers and many people's ashes were also scattered at that site. So that's how it became known as the AIDS Memorial Garden. It was maintained too by the volunteers of the Victorian AIDS Council back in those days. So it holds a special place for very many people. It's tranquil, it's reflective and quite natural, and I think that's its key.
Okay, now, John, it's ages since I've been there, and I imagine that lots of community members have been out to Fairfield. Mm. What's the old place like, and what's the site used for?
Well, the site, as we knew it, is now divided into two areas. One part is the Thomas Embling Hospital, which is a forensic psychiatric unit, and the other part, which incorporates the old Fairfield Hospital buildings as we know them, is now the new site for the Northern Melbourne Institute of Technology. Now, they moved into that part 3 years ago. They were handed the title, I suppose, if you like, 10 years ago, I think. But they moved in 3 years ago, and they've been going about restoring the area. The old buildings have been and are still being renovated, and they've been working on the AIDS Garden too, which still has some way to go to improving the overall effect, but they've done the work on the path and the seating areas. So the Yarra House Nurses' Home is adjacent to the AIDS Garden, the access to the AIDS Garden, so that it's accessible, but there's still a bit of
Work in progress.
And is it easy for people to go and visit the old hospital site and the memorial garden, or are there, you know, there restrictions?
Well, there's no real restrictions. There's no hoops and rings, but it is a question of clear communication. As I said, it is accessible, but work is still underway along the perimeter, and that won't be completed until Easter 2010, so that's March next year, when Yarra House, which is the old nurses' home, becomes a student accommodation unit. So once that's completed, it will be much better access. It is accessible, but it's still a work in progress, put it that way. However, the college has information on their interim garden management plan on their website, detailing the times that people can visit, which is fairly broad. You just need to give notice for weekend visits, but it's available throughout the week. That will all change once the work is completed early next year.
So that's from, if you like, from Easter. Round about Easter.
Yeah, from Easter.
Right. And have you been to the revitalised gardens yourself, John?
I have.
And would you like to share?
Well, they're looking fairly good. The pathways down around the AIDS Memorial Garden have been restored, and as have the old bench seats, the old Victorian bench seats. a sign telling of the history of it has been erected, and there's still some work to be done, some more plantings and some clearing, and signing, warning of the snakes, of course, still needs to be put up. But I'm very happy that we're working with the NMIT on their plans to ensure that this important part of Victoria's social history is understood by all and respected too.
Absolutely.
John, it's been great having you in. And I, now that we've you're no longer a well virgin or a joy virgin. Yep. Virgin. I don't know, were you a joy virgin?
I am a joy virgin.
Oh, well, no longer. Yeah. We're going to have you back on the show sometime in the future. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight. It's been really good to talk with you.
Pleasure.
Thanks, John.
Cheers.
You're listening to Well with Tex and Jill on Joy 94.9.
Is your business meeting its occupational health and safety obligations for its workers and customers by providing a safe working environment?
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and tonight you're joined with by Jill and Tex. And Jill, that's such a lovely song. It's almost pretty, it feels dreadful to be speaking, but who was it and what
I know,
were they singing?
It seems like our awful tones are just no comparison. That was, look, I'm not entirely sure how to say his name, and I'm sure there's an army of people who are going to correct me, but it's, I say it like it's spelt, which is Sufjan Stevens, and the song is To Be Alone With You.
Oh, and Jill, it's great to be alone with you and John and Jade. It's really sensational. Now, we've got a couple of snippets of information we'd like to share with you. And first of all, I'd like to tell you about my Sunday night. Every Sunday night, I listen to Broadway at bedtime. Broadway at Bedtime is a sensational show. I'm a bit of a show tune girl, so I quite like that. But this week, Broadway at Bedtime are celebrating 200 shows with a spectacular fundraiser concert for Joy 94.9, and it's live from the Alma Sports Club. It's hosted by Joy's very own Andy and Adrian. The night will be full of dazzling musical theatre and cabaret magic, featuring a great lineup of amazing performers, including Daniel Scott, Damien Birmingham. Who else have we got? We've got David Harris, Adrian Lee Donnelly, Alex Rathgeber. I've chosen all of the difficult names. Kelly Rode, Rosa Wax, and the B&B team. That's the Broadway at Bedtime team. To book, you can call 96992949 to get hold of these exclusive and strictly limited tickets. That's Broadway at Bedtime, Sunday, October 25 from 7 p.m. live at the Alma Sports Club. You can call 96992949 and book now.
Sounds like a good night.
Indeed, it sounds like a fantastic night. I love a show tune. Jill, you've got some news for us.
I do. As always, the Victorian Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers are available to assist the GLBTIQ community, victims of crime, and they can be contacted on 0409 534 154.
That's 0409 534 154. And I have had personal experience with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers in my region, in the northern region of town, and they helped me fantastically. So I do always recommend that people do report their crime, because unless they know the crime is happening, they can't help us.
I can't do anything about it, exactly.
If you've got a question about HIV or sexual health, you can call the Connect line Monday to Friday from 10 in the morning till 6 at night. That's on 1800 038 125. 1800 038 125, and that's for information, support and referrals.
And the Positive Women Victoria, now has an online chat facility available via their website, which is just two words together, positivewomen.org.au. And in order to access it, you just click on the chat link. Online chat is available on Tuesday, Thursdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And if you want more details about that, you can contact Positive Women on 9076 6918. That's 9076 6918.
Indeed. Now, Jill, I know you have an eye for a bargain, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Well, if you've got an eye for a bargain and a flair for fashion, And would you like to work in the retail, work in retail in the cosmopolitan heart of Melbourne? If you've answered yes to these questions, you could be just what the Also Foundation needs to volunteer at the Also Fabulous Op Shop, 259 Smith Street in Fitzroy. And we were parked very, very close to today.
We were.
If you can volunteer for a day or perhaps even just a couple of hours, you can contact Claude on 9419 2696, or if you want to send an email in, it's claude@also.org.au. So the phone number, 9419 2696.
Now, everyone loves a bargain, don't
everyone
they?
Everyone does James? Love a bargain.
And you do. You're a bit of a bargain hunter from a long time back.
Indeed, I go past my op shop every day and it's hard not to walk in because there's always something to buy. Now, people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, in collaboration with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, are offering a new workshop for HIV-negative men who are in a relationship with a HIV-positive man. So that's for HIV-positive men in a relationship with a man who's living with HIV. It's called the Partners Workshop. And the Partners Workshop is an opportunity to meet others in a similar situation, to find out how others manage HIV within their relationships, and to have the opportunity to ask health experts questions. The workshop's going to be held over two consecutive days, and they're Saturdays in October this year. To obtain more information about the program, and the cost, please contact Trish Thompson at the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865 6700, 9865 6700.
And also, Tex, as they have been around for a little while, but not because their name might suggest that, there's an organisation called Vintage Men, Inc., and that is a support group for mature gay and bisexual men, and they meet every Tuesday. And if you want more information about that, you can contact them on 9819 5483, that's 9819 5483, or you can go to their website, which is www.geocities.com/vintagemen.
Or I guess you could just Google Vintage Men or Vintage Men Melbourne.
That's probably easier than writing all that down. Yeah.
Now, this is one Jason loves to rub into me. Quit the fags. That doesn't mean quit the homosexuals. It's quit the smoking. People living with HIV/AIDS have a course for people who wish to quit smoking, for positive people who want to quit smoking. They provide a four-week course for all people living with HIV/AIDS who wish to quit smoking. The course covers understanding smoking, planning to quit, the health effects of smoking, and some of the quitting methods, coping without cigarettes. I know that would be a hard one for me, but it's both physically and emotionally, staying stopped in the short term, and more importantly, in the long term, and enjoying being a non-smoker forever. The next workshop starts soon, so if you'd like more information, call David on 9865 6772. 9865 6772.
Actually, Tex, I bumped into one of the people who run that quit program, and he mentioned that out of four people who did it last time, all four have actually still quit.
Oh, of course, that was Vic Perry, of course, when we've had him on the show talking about quit. And he said three of them quit on the second week and one quit on the third week, but they have all stayed quit.
They've all managed. They're no more having the fags. So.
Now, Jill, I know you're going to find this very difficult to believe, but we've come up almost to the end of the show.
It seems like an outrage, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? But coming up next on Joy is The Frequency. And tonight, The Frequency are going to be exploring rave music of the late 80s and 90s. I know this is one night that I'm going to insist my taxi driver switches over to Joy. I'd like to thank our guest for this evening, John Hall. Thank you, John, for coming in. I'd especially like to thank Jade for panelling for us tonight. And I believe you have someone you want to say hello to.
Well, look, I did email my brother, Alistair, who lives in New York these days, and I said, listen to me live in little old Melbourne town because I'm going to be on radio. So hello, Ali, if you're listening.
And I'd like to say hello to Harry and to all the usual gang who listen in. We'll be back next week from 8 till 9 here on Joy 94.9. Coming up next, we have a song by The National called Cherry Tree. Why did you pick this one?
Oh, because, well, obviously summer, gardens, John.
Indeed.
There's a connection there, but it's just a killer track as well.
And just before we go, I'd like to say happy birthday to a proud Joy sponsor. That's the Laird Hotel, Gipp Street, Abbotsford. They're celebrating their 29th birthday this weekend. So happy birthday to everyone at the Laird, and thank you for their fantastic support for people living with HIV/AIDS. We're signing off now. We hope you're going to keep your dial locked on to Joy 94.9. Cheers, everyone. Have a great night.
Have a great night. Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.